Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Desperate House Witches. This is Dorian Wallace, and as always, my lovely sister, Raina Starr.
Hey!
How y'all doing tonight?
What's going on
Like they're going to answer me. Anyway.
Well, I'm sure they're answering you. You just can't hear them. You must feel the vibe. Oh, my God, how fucking New Age can I sound? Anyway, we got some business to attend to tonight, so I'm going to ask my sister to go ahead and do her shout out.
Heck yeah. Hey, Jess, I know you're listening, so I'm going to send you a knuckle sandwich and a bag of chips. Love you, Jess.
We love you, Jessica. This is your Auntie Ro. Not that she remembers me because she's only met me once, but that's okay. All right, a couple of things I want to mention before we get started tonight. First of all, I would like to send healing and prayers to the family of the two little girls that were murdered by their nanny in New York yesterday. I don't know what happened. I don't know why it happened. All I can tell you is this has to be one of the most devastating things to happen to a parent, obviously, if not the most devastating, is to have your children, little children too, murdered. So I would like to ask everyone to send prayers and healing energy for those families. Also, my high priestess was kind enough to tip me off, and I'd like to ask anybody who's aware of the Church of All Worlds, and if you're not aware of them, they do have a Facebook page. There is a call out for healing magic. Three members of their priesthood are in pretty bad shape right now. Two of them are suffering from cancer. One of them has been in a very bad car accident. So if you guys would please send energy to those folks, love and light to them and their families to get their lives back on track and healthy and happy, we'd appreciate it. Again, Church of All Worlds does have a Facebook page. So if you can, please go and give support, you know, your prayers, emotional support, healing energy, everything. And thank you for doing that.
Exactly.
Can I go back to being who the fuck I am now?
Yes, you may.
Okay.
Go for it.
All right. So as everyone knows, I watch one shitty show a week, normally. This week, I did not watch a shitty show. I watched a very interesting show. Would you like to know what the hell I watched this week?
Yes, I would.
We saw the debate.
Ah, you did.
Oh, can I just tell you, and I know that we have a lot of people that listen to the show that think elections are bullshit, and that our vote doesn't count, that's fine. Even if I am living in a fool's paradise, which has been said before, by the way, I still support Barack Obama because the idea of Mitt Romney being president makes me so sick that I have to pee and throw up at the same time. What does that say about me? I don't know. But I have to tell you, it sickens me to a point where there is no coming back. So I am just saying, you know, I'm sure our guest tonight, we have a guest tonight, don't we?
Yes, we do. We have Mr. Ian Corrigan.
We do?
Yes, we
How did we do that? Oh, my God.
We did that because he's awesome, and we love him, and he loves us.
You know what? That must be it. We love him. He's awesome. And he is our friend. So I'm very excited about speaking again. We are. How lucky are we that Ian Corrigan is coming back on our show? That's cool. I just like saying it. Oh, and yeah, this week we're interviewing again Ian Corrigan. Thank you ever so much. So anyway, okay. So I don't know. I don't remember how it is in North Carolina, but there's early voting.
We have early voting, yeah.
There's voting out here in the West that commenced on my birthday. I was fortunate. I was sort of fortunate. I was supposed to spend my birthday with my girly friends in Chico, and finances derailed that pretty damn quick. So I was like, okay, what do I do to really celebrate my birthday? I will go vote. That to me was exciting. This is the kind of geek I am. To me, that was exciting. Do you know that in Nevada, you can vote in the grocery store?
Are you kidding? Really?
I am not kidding. We actually got online, me and about 40 or 50 of my closest liberal friends, apparently, because it seems that everybody in the line was a Democrat. I was so happy. It was very exciting. It was, you know, and I have to tell you, this voter ID thing, it's kind of sketchy.
Yeah.
It's really kind of sketchy. I did not have my ID with me, and they let me vote.
Really? Well,
yeah.
You know, so if you think about it, you know, and this has been a crawl that has been stuck in my fucking side for many, many years, even before I was old enough to vote, is this fucking electoral college.
Oh, the electoral, let's get to that in a second. Let me just finish up my thought on this though. So the dude behind the desk says, "Hi," and I said, "Hi, it seems I have forgotten my wallet. I don't have my ID." And he's like, "Well, let's see if you're on our rolls." So I gave him my name, obviously, and my address. And he's like, "You're good." So I have to wonder, because I'm really curious, if I had not been the cute little white woman that I am, would he have let me vote?
And you are cute.
Nah, I'm joking. But you know what I'm saying. I mean, Caucasian, semi-middle-aged, white woman. You know, well, I just said white woman twice, didn't I? But you know what I'm saying. I mean, if I wasn't white, would this have been... No, but seriously, if I hadn't been white, would this have been an issue? That's the stuff that goes through my head.
No, and I totally agree with you, because this... We are not, you know, because we're both white, you know,
Well, we're kind of off white. I don't know how white we are, but we're kind of, you know, we pass for white.
I know. I was going to say I'm more of an olive tone, but you know that's the Italian, and you know, it's like you know, these laws were not made for us, and that really friggin' sucks. In 2012, you know, they are still trying to take us back to the point where women were not allowed to vote, where, you know, and I hesitate to say minorities because I really don't like that word. You know, they're human beings. You know, we are all part of the same society, whether there are more of us in one group than another, it doesn't fucking matter. And that word just pisses me off. Same with tolerance. But you know, these laws were not made for us. These were made for Hispanics. These were made for blacks. These were made for people they are scared of voting for. And when I say they, I mean the Republicans.
Yeah. I have to agree. I'm definitely over the whole... I mean, everyone does a certain level of profiling in their head. You know, you make an assumption. If you see a man wearing a nice suit, you assume he has money. That is still profiling. I know it's not the profiling that has become the social norm. You know, that's not the term that everybody would use for what I just said. But it is profiling, and we all profile to a certain extent. If you see someone who's too skinny, if you see somebody who's overweight, if you see somebody who's not the same race as you, there's an immediate flash of thought that goes, and I ask everyone, honestly, think about it the next time you're out in public and see if you don't make a judgment call about somebody for something immediately.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's just a normal reflex that we have. But it bothers me, first of all, not because the law – it bothers me not that the law is in place, but that the law isn't equally applied. You know, I do think that there could be voter fraud. I'm not saying that there is in the neighborhood I'm in, or anybody else's for that matter necessarily. But the fact that if there's going to be a law, it needs to be equally applied. This is some bullshit, okay? Can I just tell you? This is some bullshit. The fact that this guy didn't say, I'm sorry, ma'am, you need to go home and get your picture ID, kind of offended me. But that's white, and it's white privilege, and it just gets on my last nerve because it's not equal. There's no equality there. And I was kind of embarrassed that he let me, I mean, I looked at the rest of the line because I was kind of embarrassed that he was just like, oh, you're okay, go ahead. Anybody can walk up to a table. If you know your neighbor and you know your neighbor's name, and you want to, you know, vote in their stead, you can then, because of early voting, go to another place and vote as yourself. I mean, there are ways to do it, and of course I'm not encouraging it, but there does have to be some kind of check and balance on that. There should be a paper receipt proving what you voted, should something like 2000 ever happen again. You remember that dark year when we got bushed? Or actually, it was 96 when we first got bushed.
Oh, God, yes.
So to speak. Over the years, it's not gotten any better. And, you know, there were all these stories about the guy who owned Diebold, which was the most popular used voting machine. And it's like, are you fucking kidding me? We have made no advances since then. I mean, I can see the paper as it rolls through, but how do I know that shit's not being tampered with? I don't trust anybody. Can you tell?
Well, no.
But I do want you to talk about the Electoral College, because that's another thing that's gone the way of the fucking dinosaur.
Oh, my God. And they had something, you know, and you know, I've been watching Sunday Morning for years. I mean, since I was a kid, I love Sunday Morning. And they had something on there that, you know, basically that's why these candidates are pushing so hard for Ohio and Florida, because they have, like, the most, well, especially Ohio, has, like, 18 Electoral College votes. You know, so it's basically, yes, your vote does count for something, but it goes toward, you know, your state, your electoral college votes. I cannot say that word. But what they do is the person who is in charge of casting that vote goes from the popular vote of that state and goes and casts their vote.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, I'm sorry, but it should go by popular vote. That's it. That is it. That is actually how Bush won the election, was because he won the Electoral College votes. It wasn't by popular vote, because Gore won those. It was hands down. Gore won that election by the people, for the people, all that good stuff. But because of the state, you know, who voted in that state, you know, the popular vote in that state, that's what it counts as. And I'm sorry, but that's complete and utter bullshit.
I agree.
Know, and that's another thing. I mean, you know, even though I know who I'm voting for, you know, I don't agree that they're, you know, like, going to those particular states more often than not. just because those votes count more. And it's like, I'm sorry, and I don't mean to offend anybody who is from Ohio. I'm not a fan. You know, and these are my reasons.
You know, our guest tonight is from Ohio. I'm just figuring I better fucking clue you in before you put your foot too far up your own ass. I just wanted to throw that in there.
That's why I'm explaining myself. I adore Ian. I don't like it. I don't like Southern Ohio for the simple fact that my ex-husband is from there. I've been there. I don't like the backward thinking, you know, and that's just that particular part, you know. But it seems unfair. It just seems so unfair. You know,
I agree. It's some states, you know, if you have a state with population to support the number of votes, that's one thing. But places like Wyoming, where there's no fucking people there, okay, it's all space and mountains and gross, to, you know, in a lot of areas. I mean, there's gross parts in every state, but, I mean, you know, there are certain states that have more than their fair share. And, oh, gee, the District of Columbia, no vote. No representation.
Yeah.
We will tax you to the end of the earth, but you will not be represented in government. What is that bullshit about?
I still don't understand
why they're not a state.
I don't either. I do not either. You know, why are they a district? It's like, you know, I mean, because it's Washington, so to speak. That's where the White House is. That is, like, you know, the capital. But they're not a freaking state. It's just,
well, I mean, maybe one of our more enlightened listeners can let me know, because, okay, Washington, D.C., District of Columbia. Where's Columbia?
That's
I'm just
my country.
I mean, there's Columbia, South Carolina. There's all kinds of Columbias all over the country. Which Columbia are they a district of? I'm just asking. It just doesn't make sense to me. But that's my feeble brain.
No, it's not feeble. It's just, believe me. It's like, are you kidding me with this shit? You know, we are just so backwards and so screwed up. We need to straighten this out somehow. You know,
well, I know what you're saying, but I have to tell you, I still consider myself a true patriot. I love my country. Every time an election like this comes up and people are like, well, if the other guy wins, I'm moving. If I could only get a nickel for every person who's ever said that to me, well, if that guy wins, we're moving. Yeah, of course we are. No, we're not. You have to stay and fight for your country. With its flaws, with all of the problems in it, it's still ours. This is where we fucking come from. And if we don't fight for it, nobody will. So my happy ass says, you know, Romney doesn't have a chance. I'm not focusing on him. I'm focusing on Obama winning, because that makes me feel better. But you know what? If their team wins, I'm not moving. I am not moving. I'm not leaving the country. This is my country, right or wrong, till the day I fucking die. There you go.
And
my little patriotism moment. Huh?
No, I was just going to say, you know, if it does come to that, maybe it's time for a friggin' revolution. You know,
and
I think regardless of who wins, it is time for us to take our country back. You know, I believe in the man who's fighting for what I want and what I believe in. But there are still some things that we need to stand up and say, you know what, fucking enough. Enough of this bullshit.
Well, which bullshit are you referring to?
All of it. No,
that's a lot of bullshit.
I know.
That's a lot to tell you. But, you know, it's funny because I hear a lot of people, you know, I hear our side and their side say we need to take our country back. Take it back where? Where do you want to take it to? Do you want a utopic country where we're all, you know, high all day and nothing gets fucking done. I mean, there are benefits. But, I mean, honestly, there are benefits to the way things are. Struggle teaches people. Now, I don't believe in unfair struggle, because if you've been sitting on your lazy ass for, like, all your life and you're expecting somebody to take care of you, no, I don't support that. But, you know, there are people who are at a true disadvantage simply because of where they were born, or the color of their skin, or even their gender. You know, as an over 50-year-old person, I have to tell you, and spending a lot of years in the South, there is a lot of, to this day, bias against certain genders and certain religions and certain sexualities and certain colors of skin and the whole nine yards. I mean, are we ever going to get rid of that? I like to think we're starting to breed it out of people. That would be good, because I think one day we all could be one complete Heinz 57 race, where no one's a pure any fucking thing anymore anyway.
Yeah, you know, as actually the wisest thing my husband has said, you know, we just have to wait for those people to die out. You know, and it's sad. It is sad. But, yeah, I mean, the older, you know, and not all of them, and I'm not saying that, because there are some very wise, you know, older people that they understand what's going on. But, you know, there are some people that were brought up in the church, you know, thinking a certain way, and there is no deviating from that, no matter how much logic you fucking throw at them. They are not going to listen to you, you know, and we just have to outweigh them.
Shit, I was raised in the church. Fuck those people.
I was
raised by Bible thumpers and, you know, people who spoke in tongues, and, you know, you look around the church and it's like, are these fucking people kidding me?
Yeah,
is this shit real? Scary. Some scary shit, you know. And when your own father is a preacher, which mine was, you know, they feel like they've got every weapon at hand. It's amazing. It's amazing to be raised by somebody who thinks they speak for God. I'm just telling you, that's some scary shit.
Yeah, because anybody else hears voices in their head, you know, they get fucking meds for that shit. You know, just because you think it's a higher power doesn't mean shit. You know, it's still voices in your head, you know. And don't get me wrong.
Yeah, I
hear voices. I will admit that, but I'm also a medium, you know, so I know where they're coming from, you know. But, yeah, I don't pretend to speak for a higher power. I speak to for whoever is speaking through me. You know, it's like if
I'm about to
think,
I'm about to speak through you.
Okay, go ahead.
Are you going to pull some cards?
Oh, you know what? Let me go grab them real quick.
Why don't you grab your cards? Because we are like a few minutes away from talking to our guest, and I want to make sure the table is clear for when he arrives. I'm just saying.
And I am downstairs because I have had for the past couple hours a house free of men. I have the entire house to myself. I'm like, yeah, fun time.
Oh, you must be loving it.
I'm having a glass of wine. My husband picked up some crunchy rolls before he left. I'm a happy camper. Let me shuffle.
Is there anything else you would like to describe to the audience? Like, I don't know, the color of your underwear tonight. I'm just curious.
Underwear, like I'm wearing any.
Hello! Thank you!
Oh, damn. She went
That's
there.
What I was hoping you'd all say, Mommy. So we're down off the down off the soapbox right now. Catch us while we're hot.
There you go. Hold on just one second. Let me pull. How many?
I don't care. Pull whatever you feel like pulling.
All right. Hold on a second.
Start shuffling, bitch.
I'm going to pull three. I already shuffled.
Oh, well, excuse me. Tell me what you're pulling.
I'm pulling three.
Okay, go ahead. Pull them.
Let me see what I got here.
What I got up in here.
Ooh. You know, and I pulled this card the other day. It says, everything is stable. Do not rock the boat. So whatever it
okay.
is you're considering.
Okay, wait. Before you say another fucking word, I also pulled three cards.
What I pulled is the
complete opposite of what you just pulled. The card I pulled was instability.
Are you kidding me?
You negatory. I got to hear this. What's your next card?
Okay, second card. Caution.
Yeah.
Possible involvement in a lawsuit.
Okay, stemming from a secret transaction, which is the card I just pulled. Go ahead.
Holy shit. Okay. Third card, and I've pulled this one before. The first and the third are in the exact same position.
Okay.
New partnership leads to unhappiness.
And I pulled beware of scandal or gossip.
Holy shit. Okay. All right.
So I have to tell you, there are forces at work working in opposition, but everything that we pulled kind of flowed into each other. So I'm just going to say anybody starting a new venture needs to wait until after the next dark of the moon.
Yes, I agree.
Anything having to do with money, investing, I'm picking up that somebody's about to get involved in a bad deal. So whatever that means. So there you go.
Yeah, that's for somebody else.
Yeah, I just Yeah, so that's just interesting. You picked up stability. I picked up instability. That's really fucking weird, but okay, we'll take it.
Okay, you want to know my impression of that?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, a new venture that's, and I'm not sure, I'm picking up mail.
Okay.
That this reading is for. Any new venture that you're thinking of getting into, proceed with caution. Do not divulge any secrets. Do not trust completely, because it will lead to disaster.
Yeah, I'm seeing a bad deal going down.
Yeah, trust your gut. That's, I mean, first and foremost, with anybody who's listening right now, always, always trust your gut instinct, because you are usually right.
I'm picking up that someone is being made an offer on something.
Okay.
And I can't see who's in the chat, so you're going to have to tell me if anybody's going to give me some confirmation on this. I'm picking up that there's somebody who's in a bad situation right now. There's going to be a job offer. It's going to be a bad deal. Don't take the bad deal just because it's an offer. Okay?
Okay. That's
so there's
one raised hand.
You got somebody? You got somebody on that? Okay, this is, don't even tell me who it is, because I can't see them anyway, but whoever it is that's actively looking, somebody's going to be made an offer, it's going to be shady, stay the fuck out.
Okay, I know who that is.
There's some shady shit going on, stay away from it, I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
That's what I get.
I can kind of elaborate on that. Just because you're desperate, don't take the first thing.
Oh, yeah. But somebody they know is going to come up with some kind of crazy scheme. No. You need to get something independent of that situation. You need to go in the opposite direction. And what I'm also picking up on is this person knows exactly what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
This person is going to feel like they ought to, it would help their friend, it would help somebody. No, that is not for you. Someone is trying to control your shit. Do not let them.
Okay. Yeah, they got the message. Actually, there's two. It's kind of a split message.
Okay.
But, yeah, they got it.
Okay, good.
They got it. Awesome. Oh, it is time to call the guest in real quick.
Well, don't call them in real quick. I want you to call them in nice and easy.
Nice and slow. This is how we do things. Nice and slow.
And slow. We're going to do a Tina Turner style tonight, baby. Nice and slow.
I know, right? Oh, my God.
All right.
No, don't make me sick. Don't make
Get
me
him on the line.
All right, hold on just one second. Let me go ahead and dial him in.
You'd never know that this is a radio show the way we tell each other to... Oh, hello.
Hello.
I know, right?
Is this Mr. Corgan?
Yes, it is.
Hey, Ian, how you doing, baby?
Hello. How are you?
Hello. We are doing good. We are doing absolutely finer than frog's hair tonight. How you doing?
Just fine. Relaxed and happy.
Awesome.
Oh, hey, two of my favorite positions, relaxed and happy. I love those positions. I think I need to achieve those right now.
We're getting there.
So, Mr. Corrigan, I have not talked to you in quite a while.
No, it's good to hear your voice. How are you?
Good to hear your voice, too. So, what would we like to talk about this evening?
Well, I was going to ask you that. Of course, I have a new publication. My Court of Breege grimoire has just hit its first release, so I can talk about some of my work in that regard. It is many of our favorite season of the year. We can talk about Celtic Samhain or cheesy American Halloween or... anything around that complex. I guess between those two topics we can kill an hour or whatever else you want to talk about.
Well, I would like, because I was fortunate enough to attend one of Court of Breege rituals, I would love it if you would talk about your publication.
Well, I will.
Awesome.
Shall we just go right for that?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
All
right, good.
This is called the Court of Breege.
The Court of Breege is the general term for, as you might say, the working that I have been developing over the last couple of years. And by working, I kind of mean that technical occult idea of a set of rituals and practices meant to produce specific magical results. You know, for people out there in listener land, my name's Ian Corrigan. I'm an ADF druid, part of the National Druid Organization, Arnriocht Fan International, forgive me, Canadians and other English speakers. And I have, for the past, it's getting on to 25 years now, been helping to develop the ritual system, worship practices, and more recently, an occult system or magical system based in our understanding of what ancient pagan ritual was like and how we can do it now. It's all rather different from Wicca, but we don't have to go into that in any detail here. The Court of Breege is part of my effort to work with the spirits in a pagan context. you know, a lot of neo-pagan works with spirits, but a lot of it seems to me to be borrowed. A lot of the techniques we use seem to be borrowed, for those of us who are Europeans, from non-European or more recent sources. You know, a lot of people do shamanism work these days, and that's borrowed mostly from Central Asian and some Native American sources. A number of folks are working with things derived from African traditional religion, even attempting possession in a European context, and I find all that very interesting. I'm going to turn the. Is my volume good for you?
Oh
yeah, it's great.
Okay, I can. I'm going to turn the. What I hope is the volume on my earpiece up so I can hear you guys a little better. So I've been attempting to look at the ways that ancient pagans dealt with the spirits, and we can talk about that big category in a minute, but dealt with the spirits, and my research led me back along a path that had always been part of my interest in occultism toward the magical textbooks called grimoires. Those are all pretty famous to people who read in occultism, the Keys of Solomon, the Greater and Lesser Keys of Solomon, the Grimoarium Verum, etc. And those books are pretty modern. Most of them, despite their air of ancientry, they really come from the 16th and 17th centuries, even the 18th and 19th centuries in some cases. And they're really kind of modern attempts to synthesize traditional spirit art into simple methods that people could teach each other. But the interesting thing about recent research into the forms of those rituals is that they are quite traceable back through the Renaissance and to some extent through the Middle Ages when it all gets a little murky, but then quite clearly present in late pagan magic as recorded in things like the Greco-Egyptian magical papyri. Are you lost?
Not yet.
Okay, good. All right, good. Because if you're lost, some of your audience might be. Ask me questions in this. I'll try to get more interesting in a minute. You know me. I have to do some of the scholastic stuff.
I love this part. Are you kidding? It's like an education.
It's fascinating.
Well, yeah, and I'm just summarizing. There's plenty of real research that I've read but can't do the detail on here out of my head.
Yeah.
But it's clear that ritual practices, if not god names, it certainly all became Christianized by the time you get up to the grimoires. And the reason that pagans don't look at the grimoires so much is it's all full of Jesus and Adonai and all those other gods we mainly don't pay attention to. But in the Greco-Egyptian papyri, the same ritual forms are being used with Isis and Anubis and Hermes and gods we do pay attention to, and it's the same forms of ritual. So I made an effort to kind of synthesize out basic principles from grimoire magic and reapply them inside the ritual practice that we've been doing in Arnriocht Fan.
Mm-hmm.
I had a chance to experiment with that in several ways. Our ADF clergy council has a lot of competent magicians, and I was able to do some preliminary work with them. And at one point, straight up, Sue and I were looking for a new angle for a big group festival ritual. Some way I've always enjoyed attempting to do real magic for groups at festivals, and that's always a crapshoot because there's a lot of variables going on. but I've always enjoyed trying. And I decided to attempt to apply some of these spirit art principles in a pretty ambitious kind of ritual in which we would call on the aid of a deity and ask that deity to send to us her servants and messengers, her court, if you will. We didn't worry ourselves. I didn't, despite having done a good bit of work on trying to figure out a pagan spiritology or daimonology or whatever you want to call it, I didn't worry too much about category. And we can talk a little bit about that. We met a number of spirits, and I think some of them are of the dead, and some of them may be of some other category. Hard to say. But we didn't.
Yeah.
We didn't worry. We just asked the goddess to send us. And of course, we worked with the Irish goddess Bridget.
I love her.
She is the patron of our house here with my wife and I. And since this pretty much amounts to experimental magic done with volunteers, I thought I should start with a kind and open-hearted goddess. And that's what we've always found Bridget to be, the hearth mother and lady of wisdom. Quite possibly saved our lives by preventing the back half of our house from burning down back in the day, bless her name.
Yes.
So we felt comfortable both with our relationship with her and by her basic nature in calling on her to be the power behind this kind of ritual in a public setting. There's lots of other gods that could have been fun to do, but somewhat more challenging. So we did our first version of this ritual at the Summerland Festival in southwestern Ohio a year ago this past summer, August of 2011. Had a good attendance and had the advantage of having a number of our, again, ADF clergy and kind of senior operators present at the rite. And the tricky part of these rituals, from my perspective as an operator, the tricky part of these rituals is that what we do is call the gods and spirit, the goddess and her spirits, to be present at our fire in our ADF fashion, and then attempt to bring the audience, the company, the group, into a trance position, a trance location where they can see the spirits and speak with them and transmit their names and powers aloud to our scribe in the ritual. And the success or failure of the ritual depends on having members of the attendees succeed in seeing and hearing the spirits and being able to transmit that information to the scribe. And really, I was pleased with the result the first time. This is all on the blog, but we received the names, powers, and proper offerings. To some extent, the forms. A lot of the forms were pretty vague. But the names, powers, and proper offerings for 16 spirits the first time that we did it. We had pretty good attendance and, as I say, a lot of experienced seers. So I thought that was a pretty good result. And when we did it again in California with what was a smaller group with less experienced leaders and ADF ritualists and seers, we received another group of 12 names and powers and proper offerings. So altogether, a court of there was a 13th in California, but it was the same seer from the first rite talking again about the spirit that they had met. So a total of 28 spirits that were met in the two workings. And so having done all that and done a series of three rites here at home as a private retreat this past Imbolc, and done some practical magic work with the court, which I can talk about in a minute if we want.
Yes, absolutely.
All right. That's right, because you didn't. Raina was at the California working of the Court of Breege there up in the hills above Tahoe. Now, Truckee, California is under some inches of snow now, isn't it? Didn't I just?
Oh, is it really?
The name. We just learned the name this past summer, and it turned up in the news. And said, "Oh, we were up there."
That's right. It was a beautiful time.
So all of this I have put together in a small publication called The Grimoire of the Court of Breege, in which I pretty much lay out all of these ritual forms, trances, and operations to allow a magician to do this work at home or in a small group, or in a large group if you could, but I'd suggest doing it in a small group first.
Right.
I know that some of my ADF colleagues are interested in attempting some of it. I think one person has already done it on their own from the rituals in the blog, and I'm waiting to hear more detail from her. This is all this week's action. I just, after you saw preliminary versions of the book this summer, but it's considerably thicker. Some of that additional thickness is from this practical magic work. The next step in spirit art, in the way that these things go, once the magician has done what you might call, what I call, I don't know if anybody else calls it, what I call a prospecting rite, which basically involves calling a bunch of spirits to your fire and seeing which of them will make a deal with you. And that's essentially what we did in these Court of Bridget rites, all carefully controlled by the blessing of the goddess. But, we called a crowd of spirits and asked which ones would stay and take the oath and give us their names, and those are the ones we now... In the ordinary model of kind of grimoire-style spirit art, those are the spirits who we now work with for practical magic goals. Now,
Ian, would I be inappropriate by saying that this is not something that anybody should just try to do at home necessarily?
Anybody is a big category.
True.
Without some training, you mean, and skill?
Yes.
let me tell you that in my estimation at this time, these are kindly and helpful spirits. The spirits
right.
that responded to us under the blessing of the goddess of healing and poetry and smithcraft and artistic inspiration, and the goddess of the hearth, who is called the midwife and the foster mother. These spirits are a kindly lot, as spirits who answer magicians go.
My point kind of is that if you just like walk out back and with a group of your friends and just say, hey, whoever wants to show up and party, come on. I mean, you could be invited.
Oh, no. People who actually want to do this should read my larger book, The Book of Summoning, review the front end of that, in which I discuss the development of personal authority and spiritual power, and the development of preliminary alliances and other things that make it possible to do this. But the greatest danger of the occult is that you will waste your fucking time. You can wave some shit around all night. I mean, most people are no more likely to call up anything dangerous than they are to successfully formulate an explosive with the things found in their backyard.
There you go. Okay.
I mean, and I don't, you know, why we can be, you know, we can give the common sense things. Yes, try to pay attention to the actual instructions in the books you read, mine or anyone else's. Try to, you know, the best way to approach these practices is in a traditional sort of way until you know what you're doing. Just like playing the violin, you can make some awful noises if if you don't baby play the exercises. Put that clarinet down, Louie.
That's kind of my point, though.
You're hurting everybody. No,
yeah.
Yes, that's correct.
That's what I'm saying.
And there's no doubt, and I wouldn't call my presentation in the Court of Bruges an elementary presentation. There's enough material in the front for an experienced ritualist to understand what the form of the ritual is that it's based in, because, again, it's not standard Wiccan four-quartered circle stuff.
Right.
But it assumes you know what you're doing up front, pretty much. Again, for folks who are less sure they know what they're doing, I would recommend starting with the Book of Summoning or any number of other good books out there on spirit art, though I may still be the only person who's actually written on it in a straight-up polytheist modern pagan perspective. No, you know, you won't find words like diabolical or infernal showing up anywhere in my discussions of spirit summoning. No heaven, no hell, no angels, no demons, just the spirit.
Now, I have a quick question about elementals, and this stems from an actual experience that I had with a local Wiccan group around here. We went ghost hunting, so to speak. This was before it became popular, before there was any reality shows. There was an old farmhouse back behind their house. Well, on the way, I felt something following us, you know, because I was kind of the sensitive of the group. That's what they called me. I'm an empath. And I said, there's something following us. You know, I really feel uncomfortable. This thing is following us. It's lurking. I actually saw it, and I have a witness. We call her Evil Twin. We were walking back, and we were like, the guys of the group were lagging behind. And I literally saw this thing. It was like 8 to 9 feet tall. And it was kind of like the arms were kind of close together, and it was kind of hunched, had no face, but it had like a mouthful of teeth, not sharp, just regular teeth. Mm-hmm. You know, and as soon as we said, you know, oh, my God, there's something behind you, we screamed at them, and this thing went on and off. I didn't feel really malevolent, you know, like it was a malevolent force.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you feel about, like, elementals or natural spirits, because I didn't feel it had ever been human.
All systems that work with spirits say the world is full of spirits. It's not unusual, you know, in places where people understand that some of their perceptions are perceptions of spirits, then they're more likely to perceive the spirits.
Okay.
So it's nothing surprising in your account, except that doesn't happen all the time in the West. Didn't you describe yourself as a medium earlier? Didn't I hear you say that?
Yes. Yeah, mm-hmm. I am medium. I've got all those clairs.
Well,
to speak.
You know, when we can talk a little bit about who the spirits are. What you know, when you don't have demons and angels, what categories are you talking about? And there is that huge category called elementals, which medieval people would have called demons. The Christians would have called them neutral demons, but in ADF, we relatively arbitrarily divide the spirits into the gods, the dead, and the spirits of nature, or the third kindred that is sort of everybody else.
Okay.
And that everybody else is a huge category of non-human spirits, some of whom have no more business with us than, you know, the small forms of life that manage the ecosystem 16 inches under the earth do. We just don't impinge. Some seasons, of course, like Samhain, they say that the separation between our human perception and the presence of otherworldly spirits becomes thinner or less distinct. This is one of those neither nor times, the end of one season and the beginning of the next. It's neither summer nor winter now for a little while, at least once we get to wherever one considers the real date of Samhain to be. We could talk about that, or shall I talk about that practical magic work?
Yeah, practical magic.
All
right. Yes, please.
All right, the next phase in spirit art, once you've made your contacts and made your alliances, is to figure out what the spirits are actually good for and put them to work doing tasks. Here we move out of the realm of religion and into the realm of practical magic and working with the spirits for personal goals, or working with the spirits for community goals if you're, happen to be a village sorcerer, if there ever is such a thing now. You know what I mean? They're working for clients, whatever. So we have this list. We have this list of 28 spirits, and I have a method based in the Irish Ogham alphabet of drawing sigils for the spirits. So I created sigils for them. It's all in the book. And the next step then is to begin employing those spirits for practical work. That's one of the reasons that we ask them what their proper offerings are, because we intend to call them again, make offerings to them, and promise them their offering again if they will do as we ask. So we, in fitting with our Brigid theme, decided that we would devise a practical magic work once again as a festival working for this summer, this past summer at Summerland. We would do a practical magic theme based on three intentions: prosperity, healing, and inspiration. Pretty straightforward for Brigid. And within those three broad intentions, the individual participants would craft a personal intention, you know, make the traditional intention sigil, or otherwise make an intention sign, without going into great detail. And what I actually did was to create triptych shrines. You can see them on the blog. We made them out of card and scored them. They looked great.
Cool.
They had blank spaces for the spirits, for the sigils of the spirits, and a blank space in the middle to write the intention sigil. But we chose a specific set of spirits from our catalog to work in each of these intentions. And we did that, Sue and I, by going through the lists according to the division of the spirits into the three courts of the what we call, this is going to get a little technical, stay with me a minute, what we call the hammer, the harp, and the cup, or the smithcraft, the poetics, and the healing. Hammer, harp, and cup. We divided the spirits into those three courts within the court of Brigid, and we basically did divination for each of those spirits. Actually, we narrowed them down by by choice in a couple of cases because some were more and some less appropriate to the intention at hand, the physical healing and that sort of thing. And then did divination and offering at our own shrine to make sure that the specific spirits that we were planning to employ were willing to be employed by us in this manner. And we got yeses from everybody, and so we had a set of three spirits for each of the intentions whose sigils we were able to use, whose offerings we employed in the actual ritual, and whose sigils were put on the shrine thingies. So we got everybody together. We did a handicraft phase of the workshop while we explained the intention and ritual. Everyone was busy playing with the markers and decorating their shrines and doing the sigils and prepping their intention. And we went really directly to ritual. It was a very unusual ritual. We cleared the craft tables, set up the little card shrine triptychs right in front of us on the camp tables in a square. We had our druid tabletop hallows. Raina, you saw the kind of campfire version of druid hallows there at the right. We used a kind of table. We used a kind of tabletop version that we brought. Actually, I think there's a picture on the blog.
There is.
Yeah, it's in the. Yes, there is correct, and we did the rite right there with everyone sitting and concentrating on their shrine. One of our, again, in a ritual design problem kind of way, part of my problem was to get to give people the opportunity to focus closely enough to accomplish an individual practical magic goal while working in a group setting in this way. Because we weren't all just raising power and shooting it at something.
Right.
There was very individualized goals, each person working with a set of spirits on their own, and the whole account is in there. It actually worked pretty well. So that has fattened up the back end of the Court of Breege book from the preliminary version that you saw this summer. And I'll just plug the big thing, although they're going fast. In my first effort to produce a occult collectible, I have had my friends at the Magical Druid. I've commissioned a set of three talismans for the revised version of the Practical Magic Rite as presented in the book. So for nine lucky purchasers, as detailed on the blog, you will get a unique and signed, numbered, and sigilized and uniquely set hardback copy of the book, along with three, numbered talismans, an extra small talisman of Finn's Window that's part of the system, all in a lovely cloth bag. It actually is a very nice set and can be applied directly for practical magic purposes. It's not just for pretty. It can be applied directly to the rituals in the book. Those are the nine sets of those. I believe I have five of them spoken for at this hour. So
the link is on our show page for anybody who wants to check all of this out. We've uploaded the links to not only your what?
People are commenting. I'm just watching the chat scroll. I failed to log into Blog Talk, so I can't comment on the chat scroll, but I'm looking at it.
I love it when the guest can see more than I can, but yes.
Oh,
I
well, it all depends on what you've got up on the screen.
I have our show page up, and I've posted it there, too.
Right.
Yeah, for some
reason. So we are covering all our territory.
Yeah, Blog Talk does not like Raina for some reason.
Oh, yeah. I see.
They hate me. They just hate me.
Doesn't like your computer, especially.
Come home.
What?
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, while I have you on the spot, we need to have your lovely bride on our show. And
yes, we do. We have been discussing this and trying to figure out how to approach her. So if she's listening, please extend the invitation. I'm going to start bugging her on my own person, but I didn't want to come off as too forward. But we
no, by all means, she'd be interested quite probably, and I'll mention it to her. She's in the other room.
Ignoring what I'm doing?
I don't know. No, she may be listening. But she's in another room on her laptop, so I don't know whether she's listening at this moment or not.
Oh, goodness.
But I'll
mention
it to her. And you should just contact her, you know, in that Facebook-y sort of way we do.
Yes, I will do that in that Facebook-y sort of way that I do. But we're definitely going to promote your Court of Breege work in all of its wonderful forms. And so you're saying how many sets are available?
Well, of the only nine of that collectible set. I thought I would keep my ambitions low in terms of how many I commissioned and paid for. Well, you know, but if they all go, I'll assume there's some market for such things. You know, my real greedy little heart sort of goal is to produce a true classy hardback, you know, with some stamping and proper Smythezone binding and et cetera, et cetera.
But
I have to get the right content for it. I really thought this, in the end, I decided this content was too specialized to spend the money on.
I
went the other way. I had the magical druid do the wonderful talismans. They really are doing some great looking stuff.
Yeah, we posted that link too on the show page.
Yeah? Okay.
So for everybody to check into that. It's a very cool site. I'm actually looking at it right now. It's pretty sweet.
Yep, and they'll make anything. If you can send them 300 DPI line drawing JPEG of any logo or magical whoozits, they can burn you one off at whatever rate they're charging for such things these days. They're pretty new. They barely know what rate they're charging yet. Bless them. They may have a schedule of such things by now, but I know the guys, and it's an interesting combination of computer skills and handwork, because they're using a computer to run the laser that burns those perfect line cuts in the wood, but they still have to manipulate the wood properly and know how different woods will react to different designs, and there's actual handicraft involved too.
That's awesome.
Very cool.
It's nice to hear that there's a company that's not just mass producing with, you know, I mean, there's a certain amount that is better done by machine, but I love hearing when people are still doing actual handwork.
Well, and this is not exactly actual handwork, but there's definitely hands-on work involved in the creation of the items. And they do actual handwork, too. They do rune sets and other carving, and they're crafty folks in general. But they drop the dough on that laser engraver, and it does many cool things.
Ian, I actually, if you don't mind, I kind of want to go one step off topic, because it is election time, and you had a very interesting post the other day on your Facebook page about not voting for a party as opposed to a person.
Well, the other way around for me.
A party as opposed to a person?
You hear people say, I try to vote for the person, not the party. And
right.
I understand the impulse. And, you know, even... And I think there was a time when you had to maybe pay a little more attention to the person, even than now. But my opinion at this point is that the parties are so polarized on issues that matter to me. Not all issues. They're not. Unfortunately, they're not polarized on all issues that matter to me. They don't seem to be polarized on the Patriot Act. There's no anti-Patriot Act candidate to vote for. But on human rights and the place of religion in government and the place of government in society, they are so polarized that, that I'm willing to vote for the platform of the party.
Yeah.
I mean, after all, you can't judge a presidential candidate's character from what they give you in the media.
You know how much
time colleges spend trying to judge the character of an author who left hundreds of pages of fiction 100 years ago.
Uh-huh.
You know, the people write books on the character of these people about whom we have all kinds of historical data. And, you know, so now we've got these two jokers who, you know, have some history, some of which is revealable and some of which they, you know, are entitled to their privacy concerning. And really, I don't think either one of them, you know, is really a murderer of house pets or, or just a bloody awful human being. I don't think either of them is. Almost no one is, in fact. Just a bloody awful human being. So it makes as much sense to judge by the party platform and whose ideas in the party platform match up to yours better. So that, for that reason, I am disinclined to vote for any Republicans and have been ever since Ronald Reagan married Jerry Falwell in that secret ceremony back in 1982.
No joke. Yeah. No shit about that.
it's been a messy hotel room ever since then in the Republican suite. Nah, I just don't want to go anywhere near it.
I blame Cheney. Always.
Cheney has been in the mix a long time. Cheney has been to blame for a long time.
Right.
A lot of people don't realize how long he's been involved in the whole situation.
No, he's been around a long time. Since Herbert Walker Bush, and which means really, so, you know, he must have been around even in the Reagan days.
Exactly.
I'm disappointed to have nobody left of Obama hardly even opening their mouth in mainstream politics. The American politics has pulled so far to the right that people can imagine that Obama's ideas are socialist, and that's just nonsensical. He's never done a socialist thing in his life. There's nothing socialist about his healthcare reform. Oh, sorry, that was my bad. I touched my sock.
Oh, that's it. You're fired.
It's on air and everything.
I know. Yeah. It made that noise.
Are you touching me?
Better get that looked at.
There's just what happened to the what happened to the George McGoverns of the party? Dead if they're George McGovern, bless him.
Yeah. God rest his soul.
Well,
I was just curious about your take on all of that.
Well, I'm an old leftist, and I make no bones about it. I vote Democrat because there's no viable candidate left of the Democrats to vote for.
Well, yeah, they won't even let, like, you know, the other parties participate in the debate.
There aren't any. Whatever. You can't make a party by writing statements. The libertarian guy, and I think anybody who wants to deregulate industry is nuts. And that's why I can't be a libertarian. But if the libertarians get their 5%, they'll get some government money and they'll have a shot at getting some attention. That's cute. But I don't think you can build a party by running for the presidency. I think you have to build a party in state legislatures. The first time some third party's got a half a dozen seats in Congress, then I might consider voting for a presidential candidate.
Without
a grassroots political machine, there is no party. A party is not composed of a group of people in a hotel ballroom who write a platform. It is composed of that at stage one, I suppose, but it's not. I'm not voting for it. You know, I might give them money, but I wouldn't vote for them. Except on
there's
a local level. I'd love to have candidates here in Ohio from the Greens to vote for. We got no Greens, or from some American Socialists to vote for like state legislatures. We got none. The Greens have tried a little in Greater Cleveland. You know, for folks listening out there in who knows where land, I'm in east of the crumbling hulk of Cleveland, on the still beautiful shores of Lake Erie, but. Ohio's doing a little better. The fact is Obama's half measures that he never got to do most of because nobody would pass his bills have consistently, painfully slowly, pulled us out of the recession.
Yeah.
It's going to be painful coming out, I think.
Well, it was a fast, hard crash and a long, bloody climb out.
astounds me how people are pointing the finger and saying, well, it's everything he's doing isn't working. I have a job because of everything he's doing. My kids have health care because of everything he's doing.
Exactly, right.
You know what I mean? When you can cover your child till age 26, that's good.
Well, yeah, on the basic right things he did, and that's just the start on the Affordable Care Act. There's stuff I don't like. I don't like any time the government mandates that citizens pay a private profit making concern. That bothers me.
I agree.
The government should be offering the health insurance themselves, so that there's no profit at the top.
Yes.
Here's the socialist me. Profit is waste.
Yeah.
When some guy scrapes 7% or 2% off the top and into his pocket, that's waste.
Agreed.
That's why Medicare is the most efficient healthcare system in the country in terms of percentage of money spent on overhead.
Yeah.
You asked. You started this topic.
Yeah, I know. I agree with you. I'm with you 110%. My feeling is that, but what I hear, because, you know, let's face it, for my perspective and your perspective and even my sister's perspective, there is no candidate that represents us or a party that represents all of our ideals, or even half of our ideals.
Oh,
but
right. Where's the Sexual Freedom Party? Where's the Neurological Adventure Party?
Well, I just feel that, you know, that the third party candidates, you know, every 4 years they throw somebody new in there, and there's nobody with any real longevity that people are going to stop and say, hey, you know, the sky is on the rise.
He's been at it for 20 years.
It doesn't happen.
the American people, and I'm, you know, we are the American people, you, me. I hate to, I try to be careful not to describe people, that big category of people, as something different from me, because I'm in them, but American, the American electorate is pretty hypnotized to the, and by, and I mean, all culture is hypnosis. I'm nothing sinister about that, but the current narrative is still dominated by the Reagan era narrative that government can't do anything right.
Yeah.
That's really what is enabling these right wingers, economic right wingers, to continue to advance, is this ongoing narrative that government is inefficient, government wastes in a way that the private sector does not waste. It's true, they waste in different ways.
Right. To me, it's ridiculous when you hear them say that they believe in smaller government. Well, why would a smaller government? It's ridiculous. Why would a smaller government care about who I'm having sex with, or if I want an abortion, or if I need contraception? That's not smaller.
I'll give you my old cliche. Republicans think that sex is more dangerous than money, and that sex has to be carefully regulated for the public good. Progressives, or Democrats, think that money is more dangerous than sex, and that money has to be carefully regulated for the public good. I happen to fall into the second category.
Me too. Yeah.
I just don't think sex is that dangerous. I think if you turn people loose to have all the sex they want, you wouldn't have that much trouble. If you turn people loose unregulated to make all the money they want, you have criminals.
Exactly.
Damn, I love that. I have to use that.
Yeah.
We need to write that shit down and use that later, because that is right on. I've not ever heard it put quite that way.
It's not as simple as that, really, but simple stuff always sounds good.
Well, I think on an overall, to a certain extent, it's very true. You know, if you
I wouldn't make a joke out of it, but I do. I think that expresses what I've seen, you know, since the George McGovern era, since the you know, sexual revolution of the 60s and 70s, which I kind of lived through the end of. That has been the distinction, you know. The Republicans want to regulate reproduction and turn the stock market loose, and the Democrats want to turn the people loose to have the sex they want and regulate the stock market. So
I was going to say, personally, stay out of my fucking bedroom, stay out of my fucking wallet.
Well, the ordinary guy, your wallet is not endangering anybody.
Yeah, sure. Well,
you know,
it's the fucking moss in it.
Right. That's just it. Nobody cares to regulate your wallet or mine, because there's nothing to be gained.
There you go.
But it's the people with all the money in their wallet this trend. See, you got me going on this topic. We could have been talking occultism or some crap. We've had 30 years now of the giant sucking sound. If you're old enough to remember Ross Perot, the giant sucking sound we've been hearing is the vacuum cleaner of dollars rising to the rich.
Yeah.
You know, as more and more of everybody's money goes into private hands, thanks to the idea of privatization. And that's what taxation's for. You just take the money back from the rich people and spend it on jobs.
Yeah.
I don't see that as complicated.
One of my relatives is one of these trickle-down, you know, believers. It's like basically
How's it doing
take,
for?
Yeah, we take a plate of food, give it to the rich, and then halfway expect maybe scraps to come down to us.
Exactly.
And it's like, why are we living on scraps? We're working our butts off.
I cooked that fucking meal. What do you mean?
Yeah, well, I don't believe. Well, this is, once again, I can wax socialist. I don't believe it's possible to work hard enough to earn $1 million a year.
Yeah.
There's no actual amount of work that makes your salary worth $20,000, $50,000 salaries.
Right.
There's just no amount of work that you can do that is 20 times greater than the Joker making 50 grand.
I agree.
So the whole idea of that kind of income disparity is just ridiculous. I mean, and the way to fix it is with taxation.
I agree. Fair taxation.
I mean, I know nobody likes the idea of taxation because they're all afraid it's going to happen to them. but it's everybody's duty. It's our duty to pay taxes. You know, go back to Celtic society, if anybody cares, which they don't, but for those who look at that sort of thing, the state owned everything. Your basic Celtic tribe, the tribe owned land and houses and cattle and all the big stuff in common, and they handed it out based on need and worth. You know, people owned their combs and cloaks and that sort of thing, but they didn't own the land they farmed. The tribe owned the land they farmed. And I got no trouble. And of course that kind of crap was tried with communism. And sometimes I think the big problem was that communism was administered by Russians. But never mind that.
Ian gets the big laugh of the night.
Sorry. Oh, you Russians out there in radio, internet radio land.
You know what cracks me up about that? The whole, socialism, because I've heard these Tea Partiers screaming, oh, he's a socialist. No, he's a communist. But when they are forced with it, I saw a piece with Chris Matthews, who actually went to one of these women and was like, okay, what does that mean to you? What does that mean?
What has Obama done that's socialist, is I think what he had asked her.
Exactly.
And she what, ran?
No, she could not answer. She goes, well, you just look at the news. You just look at the thing. You just look at that. She could not fucking answer.
People don't know what that means. They don't know what that means. Forgive me. You know how smart the average guy is. Well, half the people are dumber than that.
Yeah, well, you know what? Then you shouldn't be screaming that. Unless you know exactly what that means.
This is America. Who said it? Isaac Asimov, forgive me for quoting Facebook memes. Isaac Asimov was saying, Americans believe that their ignorance has a right to be as good as your knowledge.
Exactly. Oh. I love Asimov. Love him. Love it.
Cruel but fair, as Monty Python would say.
It's cruel, but it's true.
Monty Python, yes. I'm sorry, Chris.
So anyway, buy my books. That's what I say. Go right to Lulu/Trudara and buy a bunch of books so that little Ian can... so that I can support other lunatic occult printers out there, and they can all buy each other's books.
And check out that exclusive set, of which there are only a few left.
There are only a few left. They'll be the only time that form will ever be offered.
That's awesome.
And I hate to say this, we've only got 60 seconds left. This has gone by so fast.
That's what I thought. We were coming to a close.
I know. Yeah. We are going to have you back on. We are going to cajole your wife to come back on.
Yes, we have to get her on. She's awesome.
Well, I'll go away and let you guys close up. Sawan blessings to you and your household
Thank you.
To all of our listening audience out there. May you pass the season in peace and be blessed in the new year. Buy
Thank
my
you
book.
So much.
Have a great time.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you
Ian,
very
so much.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We'll have you back on soon. Bye. I love him.
I love him too. Oh my God, I can't wait to meet him at Starwood. We have to go this year. We have to go.
You're gonna love it. It's great. You're gonna just love it. But you know what? He just issued the Sawan blessing, so I'm good.
I know. I'm good too. And actually, we are on recording right now. So if I'm gonna let you do the closeout blessing tonight.
All right. Well, to all of our listeners and all of your families and all of your friends and everybody you care about, we'd like to ask the God and Goddess to bless you. As Mr. Corrigan said, we hope you go into the new season peacefully, and I hope with great prosperity. So we love you guys. Bright blessings to all of you, and we'll see you on the other side of Sawan.
Absolutely. We love you guys. Thank you guys for coming in, and we will see you next week when we will have Taliesin, and we are going to be talking politics. So if you don't want to hear it, tune in later.
Don't tune in.
Yes. Yeah, because it is going to get heated.
It's
going to
get hot, hon.
Yeah, we are going to be talking politics next week. So, yeah, if you are not registered, you know what? Actually, I think
Yes, if you're not registered, please get registered.
Yes, and early voting, vote. Anyway,
please.
We love you guys. Bright blessings to everybody. We will see you next week.
Night, everybody.
Bye.